Previously on the Cinema PsyOps Deuce crossover.
Previously on Prison Break.
Previously on Desperate Housewives.
Previously on Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Previously on Brothers and Sisters.
Previously on 24.
Previously on Damages.
Previously on Dirty Sexy Money.
Previously on Eli Stone.
Previously on ER.
Previously on Fringe.
Previously on Greek.
Previously on Grey's Anatomy.
Previously on Heroes.
Previously on Jericho.
Previously on Kyle XY.
Previously on Lipstick Jungle.
Previously on Lost.
Previously on The L Word.
Previously on Madman.
Previously on Moonlight.
Previously on Nip Tuck.
Previously on Privilege.
Previously on Stargate Atlantis.
Previously on Sons of Anarchy.
Previously on Ugly Betty.
Previously on United States of Tara.
Previously on 90210.
Previously on Melrose Place.
Précédemment dans Secret Story.
Previously on The Beautiful Life.
Previously on Terminator, The Sarah Connor Chronicles.
Previously on The Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Previously on The Vampire Diaries.
Previously on One Tree Hill.
Previously on House.
Previously on Dexter.
Previously on Charmed.
Previously on The Beast.
Previously on Ally McBeal.
Previously on Reaper.
Previously on The 4400.
Previously on Aaron Stone.
Previously on Accidentally on Purpose.
Previously on Army Wives.
Previously on Battlestar Galactica.
Previously on Being Erica.
Previously on Bionic Woman.
Previously on Californication.
Previously on Criminal Minds.
Previously on Defying Gravity.
Previously on Dollhouse.
Previously on Eureka.
Previously on Ghost Whisperer.
Précédemment dans Hérocon.
Previously on K-Ville.
Previously on Women's Murder Club.
Previously on Crodmandu.
Previously on Weeds.
Previously on The Shield.
Previously on The Riches.
Précédemment dans Largo Winch.
Previously on The IT Crowd.
Previously on The Hills.
Previously on The Good Wife.
Previously on The Cleaner.
Previously on The Big Bang Theory.
Previously on Lincoln Heights.
Previously on Supernatural.
Précédemment dans Mafiosa, Le Clan.
Previously on Make It or Break It.
Previously on Smallville.
Previously on Shark.
Previously on Sex, Love, and Secrets.
Previously on Sanctuary.
Previously on South of Nowhere.
Previously on Samurai Girl.
Previously on Royal Pains.
Previously on Private Practice.
Previously on October Road.
Previously on Nurse Jackie.
Previously on New Amsterdam.
Previously on NCIS.
Previously on Men in Trees.
Previously on Medium.
Previously on V.
Welcome to the Deuce Podcast. I'm Brad.
And I'm Jeremy.
And we are doing a special episode. Episode 31.
31.
Werewolf extravaganza continues.
The fifth part out of five for our werewolf extravaganza.
Well, it's kind of our sixth part, if you think about it, because this is a crossover event.
Ooh, this is our very special crossover event.
Yeah.
With the Cinema PsyOps podcast.
Yeah.
Featuring Court and Matt. And today, we have Court and Matt here with us.
Yeah.
Say hi, fellas.
Hi, fellas.
Hi, fellas.
Wow.
Sorry, we're trying to follow your instructions exactly on this
yeah,
show.
Yeah, no, we're nervous. That's what we want.
Very, very nervous. Gassy
We
nervous.
Are butt shy, apparently.
Yeah, way to tell a joke that was used off the air. Way to go.
Yeah. You would be surprised.
This is how he does it. He ruins your show by telling jokes that were told off the air.
It's our shortest episode at 35 seconds. Good night.
And good night, folks.
We're done. And that's the end of their podcast forever because Matt's a terrible joke teller.
Yay! I did things.
We just got done doing The Howling with you guys, and you guys are doing... we're doing The Howling, too.
The Howling?
Wait a minute, we did The Howling?
Yeah. Shut up, dude. Just let him talk.
Okay.
We're doing The Howling, 2, Your Sister's a Werewolf.
Yeah.
A.K.A. Howling 2, Sturba Werewolf Bitch.
Despite the misogyny, I prefer that title.
Yeah, me too,
well,
actually.
Well, bitch in the sense of a female dog or wolf.
Bitch, right? A dog, a female dog.
Sturba. She's got some 80s
a
hair.
A black magician werewolf.
Howling 2, your sister's a dog.
Yeah. Howling 2, Christopher Lee's a slum in it. That's the real subtitle of this one.
Howling 2, I'm sorry. Howling 2, the screams of Red Brown.
Oh, God. Red Brown.
Throat nodes are in full effect on that, man.
Oh, Howling 2, there's got to be some cash left in this body, right?
We're getting ahead of the plot here, guys. Yeah, come on.
We'll come back to those points. We'll come back to those points. But first, at Cinema Psyops, what was that?
What was that? Keeping it classy?
That was me headbutting my mic out of excitement.
Oh, I thought you were like burping
into
the microphone.
I wasn't looking where I was going, and I leaned down too far,
oh
and bam.
Oh, my God. What did we do?
He was trying to give fellatio to his mic.
We invited these fucktards onto
Oh,
I'm sorry.
You turned your explicit tag, son.
Yahoo! So
I actually wanted to be the first one to drop the F-bomb.
There you go.
Now that we have license to swear,
it's opened up.
It's pants off, dance off.
Fuck shit, piss.
Oh God, what did we do? All right, let's take a commercial break, shall we?
Yeah, let's talk about. We're gonna air a promo.
I think this is the perfect time to do it.
We're gonna air a promo from Cinema Psyops.
Air a porno?
Yes, we're gonna air a porno from Cinema Psyops. It's werewolf porn. So please enjoy some hairy sex. No.
Hairy scary sex.
Anyway, after these messages, we'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Did you ever see a film at such a young age it left you traumatized with cinematic wounds?
Necrophilia.
It's a dead issue, man. Don't push it. Cinema Psyops is a weekly podcast documenting an ongoing experiment on the mind of an unwilling test subject.
No one should have to watch this movie.
Oh, no one should have to watch this?
No one should have to watch this movie.
Surprisingly, it's not a topic that a lot of people really want to tackle.
I'm shocked, prudes.
I know, really.
Right?
It's the next sexual frontier that no one wants to explore.
I am, in the most sincerest of senses, disappointed in you.
It takes a powerful goddess like Connie, jam her arm down the monster's throat and kill it. I'm still tripping out over that. Even as a kid, I was like, I gotta find a girl like that. Every week, I get a new look of disappointment that I never thought I could get out of.
Unimaginable. At 12 years old, you should not be watching this movie.
Obviously.
At 13, you should not be. 14, you shouldn't be. I'm not entirely sure even 17-year-olds should be watching this.
Just because you're offended by something doesn't mean that you have the right to demand that it doesn't exist. Watching this film again, I had all of this, like, little nerd glee with everything that kept
little
popping
history
up.
Little history doll popping
absolutely.
Up at you.
So I totally loved this film.
Hey, I know why you know, couldn't see that. It's because your brain's warped from watching this shit at 12 years old.
Yeah, this is a rough movie. I told you ahead of time when we were getting ready to do it that it was going to be a rough
movie. How did you watch
this
shit at 12?
Because physical wounds heal, cinematic ones don't. Listen to Cinema Psyops.
And we're back.
Yep.
Yeah.
So... Guys, can you reiterate, where can we find your podcast?
Yeah, absolutely. The main place to go is legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops. We're a proud member of the Legion Podcast Network.
Very nice.
Just totally slipped into radio host there.
Yeah.
Turn it on and off like a switch.
You know, you've always done really well with that, Court. Like, I know, and we've talked about this before in previous podcasts, so... Court and I used to do a podcast with other friends like way back, and it was our other friend Ben and I were just giggling jackasses, and Court was the only one who took it seriously at the time. So How it's all changed around now.
It's the same thing. It's the same way now. It's just me replaced you two guys.
You didn't really replace them. We were just our separate show. Yeah, and that one pod faded. It's all podcasts eventually do.
Yeah.
This one will die. Ours, Cinema Psyops, will die a horrible, fiery death.
Yes, it's going to be huge.
It's going to be ridiculous.
Oh, my God, it's going to be bad.
We won't fade. We're going to burn out.
Jeremy, what did we do?
Like Kurgan on Highlander.
What did we do, Jeremy? We invited these guys on.
Okay.
So let's drop the deuce, Jeremy, shall we?
Let's drop the deuce. Let's get started on this.
Let's get going.
Okay, so the movie opens.
Unfortunately.
Well, okay, let's clarify this, too. Let's clarify. So there's actually different cuts of this movie, and I believe that Court and Matt may have watched a different one than Brad and I did.
I think there's only one cut, and it cuts right in the eyeballs for me.
We watched Your Sister's a Werewolf, but they had the cut from Stirba Werewolf Bitch. And so there may be some slight differences, so we may stop and examine some of those.
What, more wolf breasts in that one?
Yes.
Well, they
kind of
out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it was more for the
furry,
I guess.
Furry titties.
Yeah.
If somebody's into furries, this is like the movie you want to watch.
The main differences start right from the bat. Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf cut is more focused in on the opening sequences with the credits, cut around more towards like a old like cathedral and some gargoyles and things like that. Whereas the Stirba Werewolf Bitch actually shows you more of the town. And some setup of a few other things having to do with the werewolves to try and bring you into the world of Howling 2, if you will.
That didn't work.
Your Sister is a Werewolf is that cut is more, I think, more like a producer just freaking out trying to make it more intelligible and failing gloriously and making it that much worse and that harder to understand.
Oh, I don't know.
The Stirba
Werewolf
Bitch is a lot easier to understand. It's still not coherent.
Okay.
It's just slightly less incoherent. It's like a drunk guy with a cup of coffee versus a drunk guy for coherency.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
So now, and I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. So did your version open with Christopher Lee doing like a failed reading rainbow pilot?
Was it? Did you see him behind like there was like stars? And
Christopher Lee stargazer.
Yeah.
No. The version that in Stirba Werewolf Bitch, they actually have like shots of the werewolf's like domain, kind of like where you see like some of the castle stuff and some of the town and everything while he's doing the reading. And in your version that you see, he is so visibly uncomfortable doing this.
Uncomfortable.
He does not want to be doing it at all.
No, he doesn't want to be doing
Chris
this
Lee,
at all.
So he's reading like the thing about the Whore of Babylon. Just reading it in front of like a starry background.
Yeah.
It's very odd.
Reading rainbow.
And he does. He looks incredibly uncomfortable during that.
You can still hear it in his voice because that reading where they're shooting him is there, but they decided not to use the video part of it or the visual part of it, which makes it so obvious that he's like, I clearly do not want to be doing this.
Right.
In our version, we, of course, like we talked about, we just saw a lot of medieval architecture and macabre art styles, and we see, like, a little bit of, like, the paintings where they have, like, werewolves on them and things. But quickly, we cut to Los Angeles.
Of Angels.
Yes. And we are just find ourselves at Karen White's funeral. And at Karen White's funeral, we see when she transformed back from the were Bichon Frise or whatever, she suddenly
is not
takes
D. Wallace.
A third form of not D. Wallace. So D. Wallace was wise and was like, I am not coming back.
Smart.
Won't even let my dead corpse onto this movie.
The other thing that's very interesting about that is they couldn't get any footage from the original film because the original film was like, no.
Stop it.
No. Don't come anywhere near me.
No.
Got the title. Fine.
And they later on we see they try to recreate part of it in a way. But basically...
she ends up looking like the Moss Man guy, though, from He-Man. Whenever they have her transformed as a werewolf, she looks like Moss Man from He-Man, only
brown.
I'm
going to tell you, when we watched these, we actually watched the second one first for me, and then we went back and watched Howling. So
probably made howling look much better.
Yeah, it did. Yeah. I'm kind of glad I did it that way.
Yeah.
That way I didn't have to suffer later on.
Rinse your mouth out. Get rid of that foul taste that is Strobo Werewolf,
you know,
bitch.
It. Yeah. Everybody always says that. Now I understand why. So basically they take Karen they take Karen to be entombed, and we see her them take her there, and of course after they put her inside, her eyes it's the first time we see her eyes are open. So she has healed up and she's not dead.
Yeah.
Now we cut to Jenny Templeton, who's played by Annie McEnroe.
Ugh.
And she's told by her producer to grab her cameraman and cover the bodies of six people who were killed by dogs or coyotes or wolves, whichever, out here in Los Angeles.
They should have gotten the vaguely Asian reporter that is alluded to in the first film to cover all of this. They should have carried that over.
What was her name again?
Fujimoto.
She's my favorite.
I love Fujimama.
Fujiyama Fujimoto, yeah.
Fujiyama
she's the best anchor.
Fujimoto.
A real pro.
Real pro.
She's got Lakshmi Singh beaten, that's for sure. Yeah.
So
NPR joke, that's how much of a nerd I am.
So while Jenny is struggling to remember how to breathe, she hears two men arguing in the distance. There's an older man telling a younger man that his sister's a werewolf. So we're just immediately jumping in on that one.
Yeah.
An argument you come across normally in a graveyard, because I sure have tried. Yeah.
Well, it's, sister's a werewolf.
Your sister's a creature from the Black Lagoon. Never mind.
Who's dead here? That's my cousin. Werewolf? No? Okay. See ya.
I'm pretty sure your cousin's a werewolf. Let me put my spike in her. I'll tell you for sure.
Wait.
It's a silver spike.
It's a silver spike.
Yeah, don't go there. This is a family show on the deuce.
I think my favorite part of this movie.
Are you trying to tell me the condom's silver?
No.
No.
What, am I a sailor? I'm not wearing one of those.
They don't all wear condoms.
Shut up. We're not making a reference to that. Let them tell the story of the movie.
So at this point, Ben White, who is what we have, Ben White, who's played by Reb Brown, is we learn that's Karen's brother. The person who is telling him the person who's telling him that his sister's a werewolf is Stefan Krosko, played by Christopher Lee. So he tells Stefan, get the hell out of here. I don't want to hear this. Jenny, of course, chases him down, and she wants to know what he knows and what's going on with Karen, and he just reiterates the fact that Karen is a werewolf. So she passes a message on to Ben, who declares it bullshit.
Well, how is anyone supposed to accept the idea that your sister is in fact a werewolf? He hasn't seen the footage. It's been buried and hidden ever since it actually took place.
Right.
And like, if you come up to me at a funeral and you try to tell me that the person that I'm burying, like a loved one or a family member, is in fact a monster and you need to jam a silver spike through them to prove that they'll stay dead.
Yeah.
Or, you know, you need to disinter their body. I'm going to have the exact same reaction that Reb Brown had.
Yeah,
now, granted, my acting skills will be better whenever I do it.
I don't know about that reaction.
I don't know about that. Okay, I understand. Let's do this.
I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
Yeah. During my funeral.
Just take a chance.
At your funeral, I'm the only one putting a silver spike in you, Matt.
So,
we're talking about the condom again, aren't we?
Oh, God. Let's not go back there. Two strangers watch from the distance and recognize Stefan and are kind of uneasy about him. Stefan instead decides to head to some sort of Euro club. it's called Club Slammer.
Slammer.
Where he sees the strangers pick up some men. And, of course, in the meantime, they put on some 80s-style sunglasses on him. And we get to hear the new wave stylings of Babel.
Babel.
So we hear that over and over. We hear the song that is the underlying theme of this entire movie.
Yeah.
It plays over and over Babel. And over.
If you're not a Babel fan by the time this movie is over with, you're okay.
You're definitely okay.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you book a band that has one song.
I tried actually looking for more information on this band, could not find it.
That's because, as far as I can tell, they were in fact manufactured by the guy Sebastian to be in the film that did the score for this, and it's a fake new wave band.
It's
as fake as the spray painted punk names are that are really neat and orderly to try and convince you that this club is a punk club. So. No one spray paints just the word Subhumans that way. They try and at least get the logo right. The same thing with like the Germs and all the other bullshit that was on there. They're like, what are some names of punk bands? Germs. That fits, right? Let's just spray paint that on there.
So they're at the
club. This punk club just enrages me so badly. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine. So they're at club Hot Topic, right?
Yes,
club
Hot Topic.
So it's appropriating my culture very badly.
So the women take these men to this warehouse where, of course...
Wait, as in, does it transform from another building into a house or... Oh, a storehouse.
Yes. Storehouse.
Well, werewolf warehouse. I'm sorry.
I get it. You thought he meant were, as in werewolf, but he actually meant... Oh, I get the joke.
I'm very much a werewolf about that.
Hold on, you guys are going too fast.
You're in a werewolf?
Yes. Anyway, we see the main gal who we see from the funeral and everywhere else in the club. She begins howling in the middle of this warehouse, and we see this wolf ear kind of prick up somewhere in the background.
And other things are pricking up too.
Hey-o. So we
see the werewolf lady's nipples there for one.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
That's what I meant.
She starts stripping down.
Oh yeah, baby. I loved this.
Yeah, and
she kind of looks like a man, so I could see how you would enjoy that.
She looks nothing like a man.
No, she doesn't. And kind of transphobic.
Maybe not your kind of man.
That's fine.
So someone starts here hitting some weird 80s greasers with just garbage. Like they're throwing glass down at them and other things. One of them goes to investigate, and he gets jumped by a wolf, which I think is Mariana, who bites his hand off. Pretty soon, the whole group is just under attack by all these other wolves. And we see like a box gets dropped on one, and he gets dragged away. One gets pushed off the roof. A woman gets dragged away. And I actually like where the woman gets dragged away because she's trying to get away, and they grab her around by like the mouth and drag her off when they do that.
The way the werewolves attack them in this scene, it feels like they're either huge Three Stooges fans, or this is what happened to Larry Moe and Curly when they mysteriously disappeared.
That is true. That all seems legit.
They're like throwing shit at them and dropping stuff on them. It's like Looney Tunes time with werewolves.
Where's the Acme missile?
Right. The coyote is totally after these people, werewolves.
Right.
This movie's a little too wacky for its own good is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. So the original honeypot wolf girl just kind of spends her time looking around with like halfway transformation makeup. And it looks bad. It looks like somebody just smashed molding putty on her face and walked away.
Yeah. They really, really had no budget in this film. And it becomes more and more apparent with the halfway done werewolf transformations like that.
Well, probably like 90% of the budget was spent just getting Christopher Lee.
For the brief periods of time that he shows up. Yeah.
No, that seems really legit. Probably.
Well, they also had to pay for Sybil Danning's boobs. Each one gets their own fee.
That's true. So Jenny and Ben, who we learn is a sheriff in Montana, are discussing Karen. He says he's prepared to take on whatever is coming their way, and he draws out his pistol. So he's just ready to start, shooting whoever he has to.
Well, he's from Wyoming, so that's from what
Montana.
They do, right?
Montana.
You sure shoot first, ask questions later.
He is a police officer, after all.
Whoa!
Whoa!
Dude!
Whoa. So
we're a guest on another show. Come on.
All right. I apologize. I apologize. I'll rein it in.
Wow.
So
I have to keep the continuity going between episodes.
I know. It's a crossover. Dude.
Okay. Yeah.
So they meet with Crossco. He says the silver bullets were removed from Karen in the autopsy, which means that she can never really rest in peace. The silver bullets were supposed to keep her down.
Can I ask you guys a question? I don't know if anybody else noticed this. He proceeds to explain that once the silver's removed, she'll come back from the dead and then kills every werewolf with a knife when she immediately retracts. How does that any different?
Because bullets?
The only thing I could figure was it was silver-plated knives, and it leaves silver behind in the wound every time he stabs. Maybe?
Listen, man, I don't need any of your logic in here, all right? This is the Howling 2 Electric Boogaloo.
I know, but
leave it alone.
But if you remove silver bullets and the werewolf comes back, then stabbing the werewolf with the knife and not leaving it there pretty much just gets rid of your whole point.
Well, he said, but he stabs them in the heart. That's the difference, too.
Like, so she was not shot in the heart then?
No, she was just shot with the bullets.
It's funny that you guys are trying to find plot in this movie.
I'm trying to find anything I can anchor myself to in this
film.
No,
it's fine. Don't worry about it.
Sex and Sybil Danning's breath.
No, don't worry about it.
That's all I got.
No, yeah, it's fine.
So,
there actually is no plot in this movie.
That's the whole reason I bought the Blu-ray.
You bought the Blu-ray for this?
Yeah, I did. Oh, I bought the Blu-ray.
How much was that? I'll pay that money back for you. How much was it?
While I would like to be reimbursed for it, I didn't specifically buy it for the show.
Yeah, but no. But how much was it?
I paid like $12 for it, and I waited.
I'll give
it
you $12 for it.
So, all right, fine. I'll just buy another shitty movie with it. I don't care.
That's fine.
So
just do that. Buy another shitty movie with it.
So. They call BS, but Crossco shows them Karen's final tape. So, obviously, in the original movie, it broadcasts. Like, people see it out in the wild. So, they've seen this movie. Here, they say it was never aired, that nobody ever saw it. So, they kind of retcon that a little bit.
Yeah, Superboy Prime.
Yeah, I thought that was
kind of
weird, too, that they didn't do that, that they had that, and it was not,
And then they kind of backed away
from it. That was kind of weird.
Yeah.
Superboy Prime just punched a crystal and made it all okay.
Yeah,
it's fine.
He retcon punched it. So he shows them a picture of the woman we saw, and he explains that her name is Mariana, and she is immune to silver because she's kind of this super werewolf. She's
super
on the
werewolf.
The pure line of werewolves.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like a Nazi werewolf.
Where's Matt on that scale of pure werewolves? Where is
pure
he
werewolves?
That? Yeah. Is he like on the bottom? In the middle? Is he below the bottom? Where is he at?
Matt's always on the bottom.
I think he's on the bottom. You're a bottom, aren't you, Matt? You're a real bottom, huh?
He's power bottom.
Yep,
bottom.
You sure are a power bottom. Power bottom, power bottom.
So he
I believe in only purebred werewolves.
Yep.
Thank you.
Don't be racist. Butt shy. Don't be butt shy.
Don't be butt shy. Nope, too butt shy.
Up now we have another call to it.
Yeah.
We might as well call back a joke we don't know about to begin with, right?
Yeah. I was gonna say.
That's Matt's whole entire comedic style. Tell a joke no one understands.
I love
exactly.
it.
Exactly. Leave him guessing.
Leave him guessing till the end.
So he continues to ramble about how. With the next full moon, it will be 10 millennia.
Full moon, like being butt shy.
That is a full moon. 10 millennia since Sturba, mother of werewolves, began creating them. In that day, all werewolves will reveal themselves to humans.
Oh, and they reveal themselves a lot in this movie.
They do.
Hell yeah, they do. That's
they keep
part.
Revealing and revealing. And I keep puking and puking.
Furry love everywhere.
Puking.
So Sturba's direct line is apparently it's immune to silver and must be killed by pure titanium.
Mm.
So there's their plot point.
Well, and it's also more cost effective for them to be able to buy titanium knives than silver ones for the for the purpose of hunting them. So actually, it's a very convenient purebred werewolf to be killed so easily.
Well, yeah, there you go. Thank you. So Jenny invites herself.
We're trying to make some sense out of it, I guess. Yeah.
So, seriously, guys, I'm going to be looking for anything to try and justify what's going on.
No.
Otherwise, it just makes my brain hurt and I can't process
maybe
it.
Maybe your brain should hurt.
Well, you know, so one of the things, and we were talking about this too, about this movie, is as much
that
as
these people did a movie and I'm not in a movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, as much as the first one, as much as The Howling is this like slow burn, you know, I think it has like better qualities to it, but it's a slow burn.
Yeah.
This movie at least is like very action packed.
You got to give it that credit. That like, it actually keeps going and going and going.
We are watching
it. Doesn't make sense, but it's pretty quick.
Yeah, exactly.
It's trying to distract you from the lack of plot by pointing out that there's constantly something happening. We don't have time. Let's just move on. Forget about it.
Yeah. But at least we got that. That is part of it.
Yeah.
It's a perfect movie if you're trying to capture the ADD crowd.
Well, for 1985, when was this? 1986, maybe, I think.
Yeah,
it's so many years later.
Yeah, sure.
1985
is when this was. ADHD?
Yeah. Yes.
It was released in 1985, but in the U.S. it was actually 1986, though, depending upon which version that you've seen it you know, released under. This film actually fits in with a lot. This is when horror had a very serious decline at this point.
Yeah.
For a lot of stuff. I mean, it was pretty much, if it wasn't a slasher, it was trying anything, including comedic elements, to break above, you know, and just kind of get noticed. And some films mixed it together well and became successes, and some failed miserably and did what Howling 2, Your Sister is a Werewolf, did.
Yeah. So
Howling 2, Your Sister's Electric Boogaloo?
Yes.
So Jenny invites herself to Ben's place for a drink because she's really pushy like that.
Yeah.
So Ben decides he's going to stop Crossco from staking his sister no matter what. So he's going to go there and stop him. So
I believe he specifically says he's going to kill that son of a bitch.
Yeah. I think that's what he said. And he, of course, brandishes his pistol again. So a little light B&E and a little light desecration later, they've arrived at the cemetery. And Crossco, they come into Crossco. He's saying a prayer in the church while a guy who looks like a reject from the 80s Beauty and the Beast TV show kind of follows him.
So, that's funny.
Yeah, he has like the makeup with like kind
he has
of
got
the
makeup.
The weird like dog look.
The dog
face.
Looking makeup. Yeah, yeah. And we're talking Linda Hamilton.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's correct.
Yep.
So Ben and Jenny make their way through the woods when they get jumped by a werewolf. Ben uses up so much ammo just trying to shoot this thing.
Yeah, right.
And basically he just spends everything.
God, right?
They run into the crypt. Ben still is pissed that Crossco is going to stake his sister. And you just saw...
Yeah, you just saw.
You just saw a werewolf. But you're still like, well, I still don't buy my sister being a werewolf, and so he's going to take him out there.
It, clearly, he didn't pay attention to the title or subtitle of his particular film.
Be pissed
film.
That your sister's not Dee Wallace anymore.
Yeah, exactly. What did you do to her? I don't even know her acting credits. So the group gets jumped by werewolves in the church. They shoot wildly in every direction. And Reb Brown just screams nonstop.
Well, that's Reb Brown's acting style.
It is. Oh my God, I hate Reb Brown screaming. Like he does it all the
time.
What
was Reb Brown? What was he in? Like Captain America.
The one. He was Captain America. But the thing that most people will probably know him from is the MST3K episode
Slam
Space Mutiny.
Oh my God, that is him.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh,
and
man.
He screams just like that, and he's constantly yelling at everybody to move, move, go, go, move, move, go, go, and it's just throat note times all over the place.
Yep.
Reb Brown actually can do a decent job acting if he's given the right kind of role. The problem is he needs to have less dialogue and not try to like show anger and rage while he's fighting.
Yes.
He just needs to be like the strong silent type. And I think, like, just because he's an imposing figure, I think he would do okay. But no one ever reins him in because he's a giant fucking man, and you probably can't tell Reb Brown to do fucking shit.
Matt, did you like his acting?
I loved it. Yeah, I thought this was like Oscar worthy at this point.
Well, the really sad thing about this, and particularly in this scene, everybody else in the film is so either over the top or completely just going through the motions and terrible and flat, including the werewolves, that Christopher Lee, who is very clearly phoning it in for Christopher Lee, still is acting circles around everyone.
Yeah.
And he looks like he's half asleep the whole time.
It's either this, I cannot believe you are reading this book, or this, my sister is dead, and I don't know what to do.
Or it's just, go, constantly. It's so horrible.
It's horrible. Yeah. It's horrible.
So
Christopher Lee hated both of these actors.
Oh, God. Yeah. So
he tried to get, like, offset just to get away from
there's
them.
A couple times.
And I'm not making that up. He really did.
Yeah.
My favorite part of this movie is that you can actually see Christopher Lee is phoning it in so much that he's holding a phone the whole time. That's how much he is.
He's just holding it in one of his hands.
Yeah.
There's literally scenes in the film where he goes, "Listen, I will walk to the village on my own. You continue, I'll meet you there."
Yes, yeah. And I think it was a lot like he improv'd it, and it was like, "I'm just trying to get out of this movie as much as possible."
Yeah, because he suddenly disappears, and actually, and we'll get to that in a second here.
Yeah, we're almost there. Yeah. Sorry.
So Ben, who is still pissed about all this, basically, they go through this werewolf attack. Jenny turns, and they see. Jenny turns and they see Karen turn into the werewolf in her casket. And so they see that. And instead, they're just like, oh, well, it's too late to stab her. So they just seal her back in the casket.
And how handy is it that it has that little view screen window so you can actually watch her rot when you check on her every couple of months?
I love that.
Yeah. That's convenient.
And then on top of that,
every casket should have glass.
There you go. Yeah. Just so you can get a view.
Sneaky of peek. Dirt.
Yeah.
Well, coffins are essentially pressure cookers to make you rot faster anyway. That's what they do. Yeah. They trap everything in. So why not have the glass so you can see the progress?
One wolf.
Sorry, that got really dark.
Jesus. Good Lord.
You all right?
You're right.
Anyway. I got two speeds. Hate cops talk about rotting corpses. That's all I got, guys.
So one wolf starts to get out. Starts to get away.
I'd say end the show now. Get out while you still can.
That should be your next promo.
And done.
I have two speeds.
Well, this has been dropped. So kudos to everyone for listening.
So
has Podbean ever like fired a podcast before?
Us. That's really? Why we're on Legion.
I don't know.
All right. So one wolf gets away from all the shenanigans. They end up stopping him outside by throwing a net over him. And while he's on the ground, they grill him where to find Sturba.
Ooh, phrasing.
he says that she's in the dark country. And then the wolf begs for mercy, and Krosko ends up stabbing him with the knife and putting him out of his misery. He reverts back to a human after he's stabbed, with the silver blade in the heart.
Yeah.
Ben finally, after werewolf attack after werewolf attack, Ben finally agrees to help. So this is his breaking point, in case you were wondering.
Yeah.
Jenny agrees to help, too. So she
but
can
they never go
the
back and
story?
Kill his sister.
No.
She's just trapped in the coffin.
Yeah.
Hey, that's gosh. Not her anymore.
They'll come back to it like around the fourth or fifth movie.
Do they?
No, I don't think so.
God.
I won't find
out.
Yeah. So she wants to go break the story. So that's why she's going to go. So Krosko goes, fine, but we all have to leave tonight, which I'm pretty sure was a... They'll never get their shit together in time. I'll be on my own. And they're like, we're in. And so he's trapped with them now in Transylvania. So
I've never been. Let's go.
We see Mariana shows up in Transylvania and gives Vlad, who's played by Judd Omen, who was in
Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Yes, he was in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
Wasn't he the guy who cut the mattress tag and that's why he ended up in prison?
Yes. In prison? Yes, that's him. I went, is that the guy from Pee-wee's Big Adventure?
No, it is. Yeah, the bald werewolf guy, that's him. That's He's the dude who cut the mattress tag in Pee-wee's Big Adventure.
But see, in this whole thing, for many reasons, but I couldn't take him seriously because I kept seeing him as that.
Yeah, me either. But I couldn't take him serious because he was in The Howling too. He was a werewolf.
So she gives Vlad like a half of an amulet, which apparently means that she's invited to the Sturba party. Mm-hmm. She climbs into this truck filled with other werewolves. And cut to Jenny driving with Ben, giving directions. She says, we're going in circles. And Ben says, well, of course we are. You're driving.
Oh!
And Christopher Lee, I don't think it's a
Lee's
joke
like
either.
Just taking a snooze this whole time.
He looks like he kind of like rolls his eyes and he looks like he's so irritated. I think that's legit.
I think it's legit too.
I think he's
either hungover or he is falling asleep. Yeah. And I am too.
Yeah.
Well, if you notice, they're not really in the same shots when they're in the car. They cut to him.
Yeah.
So I think they literally had him sit back in the car and just do some reaction shots so they could do cutaways to lessen the amount of time he was on film and the number of days he was on set and the amount they had to pay him.
Yeah,
that's true. That makes sense.
Well, I think he didn't like them. I think he didn't want to be around them, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, that makes sense, too.
Okay, on the Blu-ray, I actually watched an interview with Reb Brown after I watched the movie last night. And according to Reb Brown, he and Christopher Lee got along just great. And he, like, Reb Brown, because Christopher Lee was a member of the Secret Service for Britain and was, like, really involved in World War II and did a lot of that kind of secret intelligence work. Reb Brown really looked up to him and asked him a lot of, you know, like got a lot of stories from him and just kind of idolized him and said he was a really sweet and wonderful man. So in Reb Brown's case, according to Reb Brown, he and Christopher Lee got along.
Right.
Well, that just means
I believe anything if you scream it really loud.
Well, that just means that Christopher Lee put up with him.
Yeah.
And
he was just being nice.
He was just being nice. He's being
It's kind of like what you do with Matt.
The things I do with Matt cannot be talked about in interviews on Blu-ray years later.
Okay, we got a couple minutes. Go ahead. Tell us.
So, my flowers are my secrets.
So what kind of flowers? Like roses or
the prolapse kind?
Oh God,
God.
So, yow. I'm just. I'm getting us back on track here.
Oh no, I want to hear more.
No, good you luck. Don't. I can mute him anytime, guys. Just like use the code word. Shut up, Matt.
So, Vlad says the wolves in the back of this truck are hungry. Thankfully, they come across a couple of German backpackers.
Mm-hmm.
They Those climb into the back, and it's feeding time. And they're singing some sort of German marching.
Jeremy, careful. You said packers in front of Matt.
I said backpackers.
Yeah, that's fine. Just don't say collarbone. Fuck, I just said collarbone. No, I said it again.
The part that really offends me about this, and like it really angers me, is when the backpackers jump into that and they're getting ready to eat them, they cut to the front, and then the driver looks at the guy who cuts the tags off of mattresses in Pee-wee's Big Adventure,
Flat.
And he goes, Stritzel. It's like, what the fuck?
Is that his name, Flat?
Yeah, it's Flat in this movie.
Yeah, Flat, yeah.
But when you watch this, I watched this as a kid, and when I watched it as a kid, I had already seen Pee-wee's Big Adventure, so like he was not threatening at all.
No.
You're like, is this how he actually got in prison?
No. He also has a Vlad bod.
Ooh, so, I like that.
So the truck arrives at Transylvania's hottest new club.
Ooh.
Sturba. It's got everything. Bondage gear, rituals and fur hoods, blood-covered virgins, and like that one thing where old women drink your life force and then your face melts and they turn young.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that was the whole scene. Like, I was just like, I'm going to describe this in, like, one sentence.
In Stefan terms?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would actually like to focus in on each individual scene that's being played out with the bondage, the nudity, the sex, including the life force being sucked out. Because this is the meat and potatoes of this film, and this is kind of the only parts that are even interesting and worthwhile.
Actually, this is my least favorite part. We can wrap. Keep going. Keep going, Jeremy.
I'm just saying, like, this is probably the only thing that is actually visually interesting is the parts that happen inside of Sturba's castle, and even that is not worth talking
about. No, that's not worth talking
about. It's just, like, the stuff that happens around the altar. Like I still don't understand, and I don't know if yours perhaps was different, but there was they bring out a girl who, you know, a young girl, and they cover her in blood, and an old woman comes up, and which is old Sturba, and she like sucks the life force out of her, which is weird for a werewolf to me.
Right.
But when she does that, they have this very interesting. So I thought this was kind of interesting because it took me a minute to figure out like what the hell is happening. But it was like, I don't know if it was just like they were doing like a blasting fire at like a wax face. Mm. But it was just like the face was melting and you saw it like almost like it was blowing away while it was happening. It was a very interesting look to what they were doing, like how they were melting this fake face.
That is a little different. I think that was something that they kind of inserted for the Your Sister is a Werewolf version to try and do something different, because I don't remember that being in Sturba again. Do you remember the melted face?
I don't know. No, I don't remember that.
Because it's bad rotoscoping, so it's equally as terrible, but in the Sturba werewolf bitch, she sucks up the life force, and then it not euthanizes, but that would kill her and save us all from having to watch this fucking movie. But
movie over. Thank you, God.
Thank you, non-existent being. sweet God, atheismo. but in the Sturba werewolf bitch version that we watched, and I remember the melty wax part that makes absolutely no sense, but it's like this bad rotoscoping where they sort of like do, you know, an animation over top of her, and then she becomes young with each pass, like almost like a cross dissolve they would do in the old days with the Wolfman.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden she's young Sybil Danning. And then she rips off the robe thing, and she's got like this sexy dress on underneath. It's like this like suede leather black ripaway dress that we see her later on in the film.
So yeah, I thought the wax face thing was interesting though. Like I know it doesn't make a lot of sense, but it was like, to me, I was like, ooh, that's a different visual thing. I mean, it
makes a little more sense with the animation version than the wax melting. I think if they would have. In that cut, if they would have kind of paired the two together where, you know, the animation hits her and then you start to see the wax melt and then you see her become young as the wax is melting like back and forth or something. But the editor really dropped the ball on this bad.
Right. Well, let's talk about the transitions here. So this is the first time we have like a square wipe that goes across the screen.
Right. What are
those? In our version?
Yeah.
They had a spiral. Like it spiraled out.
I call it the cinnamon roll fade out.
Yeah. Cinnamon roll wipe. Yeah. Oh no, we had terrible. A bunch of those. There was one where it was like triangles that went across the screen. I mean, it happens all the time. Awful.
I thought we were watching the Brady Bunch the way those transitions kept happening. Right.
Marsha.
I don't remember Stripa. I don't remember that many nipples in the Brady Bunch.
Oh, it would have made it that much better if there were.
Gross, they're kids.
Oh, not you, them. I'm talking Alice.
You're disgusting.
Oh, Alice.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
I was going to say, he knows what he likes.
Listen to you getting all judgy over there. Let the man live his life.
Yeah, I'm not hurting anyone.
You're hurting Alice.
It's Sam the Butcher. Sam the Butcher's going to be
Sam the Butcher. And treat her better.
Sam the Butcher.
Can we just talk about the Brady Bunch and stop talking about Alan?
No.
Sam the Butcher is the most negligent lover that Alice ever could have had.
That's why she's always frustrated and like chopping the meat.
Court would treat her right.
All
right,
let's get back to
So we have to power through this. Yeah. Like, this has to end at some point.
Court would give her the sausage.
Okay, back off on that. Let's let this finish.
So Sturba's young now.
Actually, can we go back to the Brady Bunch?
No, we can't go back. We passed. That ship has sailed.
Okay.
It's gone Hawaiian style.
Saved by the Bell.
Oh.
Wasn't that their sequel?
No, Saved by the Bell, gone Hawaiian.
I think Brady Bunch is.
Oh, no. Okay. Anyway. Saved by the Bell went gone. Look, if they can do their like 5 minutes of Brady Bunch, I can do 5 minutes of Saved by the Bell.
There was a Brady Bunch Hawaiian thing where there was a curse. But they have a tika.
There was a curse that Greg had. Whatever. But we're going back to Saved by the Bell. Okay, so Greg.
I have no problem with Saved by the Bell because there's, you know, a lot better looking people in Saved by the Bell than the Brady Bunch.
Yeah, there's also
again Mr.
plot.
Belding.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
What about their British teacher the very first season of Saved by the Bell?
Wasn't that the
Haley
chick
Mills?
From
Haley Mills?
Haley Mills.
Yeah, crush on Haley Mills. Didn't
yeah,
you?
That was Miss Bliss. The show was originally called Good Morning, Miss
Good
Bliss.
Good Morning, Miss Bliss. We can do 5 minutes of this if you want.
Go ahead. Oh my God, she was hot.
Yeah.
Accent and everything.
Okay.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. Sure. Okay.
I'd have given her the most disappointing 30 seconds of her life.
So Sturma's young now, and everyone is howling. She leaves to start rewarding her subjects. So
that's one way to phrase it.
Yeah, like, so Sturma gets the party started by giving Mariana to Vlad and then ripping her clothes off.
Not only that, she says our youngest daughter before she gives her away.
Well, but I think she means like it's a like not daughter in the literal sense. I think that it's of that line. Like she also says that she's going to be like a warrior for them and all this stuff.
But she's supposed to be the mother of all werewolves, so any sex she's having is also incest for her. So we're not just watching werewolf sex about to happen. We're watching incestuous werewolf sex.
Well, there you go.
There you go, man.
There somehow that works better. On a very special Howling 2.
So now Jenny, Ben, and Stefan come across an old lady in the road who has been hit by a car, supposedly. They get out to check on her, and Stefan suspects something's up because he's just not having it with this movie anyway. but the villagers are acting strangely. Like they're darting their eyes around. Of course, then they all like wander off while they're looking at the woman, and she's going rah, 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 like making weird sounds.
Yeah, she's making weird sounds.
And
Get closer. And yeah. Then she transforms. Yeah.
So she starts transforming, and of course, Stefan stabs her, and he goes, "You know what? I'm gonna go to the village on my own. Peace out."
Peace
and
out.
Just he leaves
I'm
the scene.
I'm done with this shit.
And I really was like, I go, I almost wonder if he ad-libbed that. If
he's totally
like,
did.
I'm going to walk to the village, and then he just left the middle of the
scene. I think he told
the
director, he went, hey, what if I do this, and I walk to the village.
Yeah.
So I can get out of a couple scenes.
Yeah.
That way we can move this forward.
Right.
And really, he just didn't want to be there.
Or the director fucked up and started shooting stuff without him in the car, and then they did a gag that's coming up. And then they had to reshoot something to get up an excuse as to why he wasn't in the back of the
car.
Yeah,
that actually is true. Yeah.
I think it's more Philippe Moré probably wasn't much of a director and didn't realize until later in the editing room. So they had the excuses why he's walking to the village after that.
So now Jenny and Ben get back in their car. Where they failed to notice a giant fucking werewolf in the back seat.
How do you not know?
That thing
you
was
just
huge.
Got into the car. How big is this fucking werewolf that you don't know that he's in the car?
Yeah. It's a tiny car. It's just like a tiny car.
Yeah.
He's like the size of the Oliver Reed werewolf from Curse of the Werewolf 2 back there, yeah. Ripped shirt and all.
Yeah. And of course,
got poor Perif.
So Ben manages to
Oliver
shoot
Reed?
The thing.
Wasn't he like Mr. Brady? Oliver Reed?
No.
Who was that?
No, that was I can't remember his name now.
But Ben
Oliver Reed is he's a classic actor from like the late 60s, early 70s.
Oh, okay. Who am I thinking of?
I can't remember his name either. So Ben manages to shoot the wolf, but of course they almost drive off the road, like off this cliff area. Which is really too bad, because that would have been a great ending to this movie.
Four more feet, we could have had just Christopher Lee taking on the werewolves, and we could have probably salvaged this.
But cue the spiral wipe. So, so we come back to what I can only assume is like an Italian porno being filmed. It's like people half wolves.
Robert Reed. That's what. Yeah.
Robert Reed. Yeah. Okay.
So they're all half wolved out, and having sex. And it really is like, it's bizarre. They're just like slapping each other in the face, and then just going like shaking their heads around. Like I don't know what they think. Like
wolf sex is.
Yeah. No, like they're trying to like have like do a sex scene but wolf it up, and I don't think it's working.
No, it's not working.
Was
it working for you, Matt?
I'm working it right now.
He was working it, yeah.
No,
but you called attention to it, and now his penis got shy.
Yeah.
Serious, Matt. Was this working?
No, now it's engorged. I have a shy butt. Not a shy penis.
This particular scene is actually a little bit more graphic in the Stripper Werewolf version.
Oh, is it?
It's cut a little bit less, it feels like.
Yeah.
From whatever, because the whole
The whole time I watched the Blu-ray, even the first time that I bought it, it's completely different than the version I remember seeing on VHS, which is a lot like the version I think you guys saw.
Yeah, I think we saw a really weird edited version.
Yeah, there actually is, like, underneath the werewolf hair, you can still see some nipples on both of the ladies.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where the hair down the crack of Vlad's ass as a werewolf covers everything, but the, like, just covers just the bare crack of his ass, and then everything else is just, like, his normal hairy ass.
I actually wasn't looking, but thanks.
And he's like on top of the Mariana lady. And kind of like riding it out a little bit. And that looks almost like actual sex. But the scenes that I think in the film that you guys saw that they're cutting away to with the werewolf sex, it's mostly like them like sort of trying to howl at each other, but basically just sounding like the gargly zombies from Motel Hell. Cause like,
he keeps doing that. It's so bizarre. I'm like, that is.
Oh, I'm sorry if that makes you gag, man. I didn't mean to make you ill, but. That's what it sounds like. I don't know what else to describe it as.
Oh, no, that doesn't make me ill. You know what makes me ill? This movie.
I'm just saying, if you guys have any furry listeners, they would really be interested in this scene.
No, it's not. No, that's different than what you're talking about. No. Furry are people who dress up as, like, sort of, like, animated costume characters. Yeah.
They don't, like, glue fur onto their naked body.
No.
You guys know an awful lot about this.
What I'm saying is, you are disparaging a subculture of people that are really not meaning any harm.
I never said that meant any harm.
This particular scene would not appeal to anybody who is any bit sexual in any way, shape, or form.
I'm taking offense because you make it sound like, well, furry people are just out to cause harm to regular folk.
Well, you are. That's what it sounds like.
It's out there now.
This scene causes harm, therefore you implied that they would like it.
Why does this scene cause harm?
Have you watched it?
Guys,
we are all agreed. Matt is the villain of this piece. So let's move forward.
Good part about it is that Vlad's bald werewolf when he's half transformed.
Calm down.
Completely bald across the top.
Hey, Matt, that would be
me. Which is cool.
Hey, Matt, calm down. Yeah. Matt, remember, Court hates police. He hates policemen.
Yeah, he does.
I know.
So don't worry about it.
Yeah. Not all of them.
No, you hate all of them.
Okay, so Ben asks the men at the hotel. They get to the hotel.
I'm playing a character on the show. I don't hate all of them.
Okay.
Let's get real here for a minute. This is what this movie really deserves.
Let's get real here. So Ben asks the man at the hotel for two
furry
rooms.
People
Stop
are kind
you.
People who are part of a subculture.
They are.
You know, don't hurt anything.
Yeah. So Ben asks the man at the hotel for two rooms. Jenny says one room will do because she's still trying to push herself onto Ben.
Mm-hmm.
She's always trying to put the moves on him, like inviting herself over for drinks and whatnot.
She's coming on way too strong.
She is.
Way too strong.
She is. And he gives them room 666.
Yeah. 666. Here
and of course,
you go.
She says something like, well, it doesn't look like there are six floors from the outside. And he goes, yeah, it's funny, right?
That was actually something that Ben noticed. The amiable love he actually counted it.
Yeah.
He's like an idiot savant for the levels of floors on a hotel.
So we keep seeing this bit like Vlad is outside dancing and just kind of watching them. So we keep cutting back to him. So I was kind of confused by that because one moment he's having werewolf sex.
Yeah, I think maybe there's
and then
this
he's
different.
Dancing.
I think there's this cut better.
Yeah, probably.
Because he's like dancing in the street in our version and then he's having wolf sex.
And
like 2 seconds later, and then he's back dancing in the streets. So.
Yeah, it's intercut really badly in the version that you saw.
Yeah.
It's actually the sequences are a little more filled out in the Strip of Werewolf Bitch version, where he is watching them. They are in the hotel, and he's doing the dancing stuff, but the werewolf sex is dispersed through it. Actually, in a more intelligible version, where you can actually see what's going on more.
In this, it did not make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, they do this weird, like, video, like almost like MTV music video back in the day montage with this stuff where it's happening simultaneously.
Yeah.
And you get the feeling in the version that you guys watch that they're either trying to imply that Vlad is omnipresent in some way, shape, or form.
Something.
Or that there's different versions of him, perhaps. But, yeah, like I said, the version you guys have makes even less sense.
Well, and then I was thinking, like, maybe it was like he dances all day and has wolf sex at night. Like, I thought maybe it was taking place over multiple days.
That's what I do.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, that's kind of the life that I would like to have, minus the dancing part.
What about you, Matt?
I want the dancing part.
Yeah,
just the dancing
just
part.
Just the dancing part.
You're romantic like that, though.
You go and dance. I'll do all the werewolf
dance
sex.
With somebody.
All right.
So Vlad is outside.
Somebody who
loves. So Vlad's outside dancing, and kind of watching up towards their hotel room.
Poor Jeremy has to read this.
I know, right? I have to relive this. Jenny
he
busts
had to take
out.
The notes better him than me.
Yeah, right.
Jenny busts out this string of garlic. Just in case.
Why?
Yeah. And then we cut to the clerk who has
I think that's
fangs.
What she thinks safe sex is all about, Brad. I think that's why she grabbed the garlic.
So it cuts to the clerk now who has fangs and is like, what? And so I'm confused if he's supposed to be a vampire.
Or if he works at a Best Western.
That does happen at Best Westerns a lot. So I wasn't quite sure if that was the joke, that he was a vampire. In any case,
in the cut that we watched, I don't want to say our cut. I don't want to take any responsibility for this film, but in the strip of werewolf bitch cut, you get a better inclination that the whole entire town has actually been taken over by Stribba.
Yes.
Like that they're either right. complicit or they're too afraid to be turned into a werewolf. So they go along with it.
Yeah.
Or like they are werewolves basically.
Yeah. Okay. So, Jenny asks Ben to hold her. And, of course, starts making out with them, and soon they have sex, which gets the wolves all riled up. It's weird, like...
Vlad goes sniffing at it,
Vlad
too.
Goes sniffing,
really
and he
creepy.
Goes, he goes oh. It makes these, like, weird little howly noises. And then there's also a perverted owl.
Yeah.
Who keeps acting like, ooh, and, like, his head spins around a bunch.
Yeah,
he was just curious how many licks it takes to get to the center of a Templeton pop.
Oh no! Mm-hmm. Oh no!
Well,
the answer is three.
One, two, three.
So Ben and Jenny leave the hotel, and a little person summons them to follow.
That's right, bitches. We got in our movie a Transylvanian dwarf.
Yes.
You didn't. We got it.
Yes.
Yes.
So
I don't know why I'm bragging
like
about
that.
Came out better.
Transylvanian Dwarf, that's a new rock band name.
And it's
new band name.
I can see that. Yeah, Transylvanian Dwarf.
So, what do they play? What kind of music do they play? Anyone? No one? No one wants to say what kind of
new
music?
Wave.
New Wave, okay.
They're a Babel cover band. Yes.
The last bit there.
I think they're a Babel cover band. What?
Guys, you with us?
You there?
Now
we're hearing you.
Yeah, a little bit there.
Okay.
That's better.
Okay.
Hang on a second. I'm gonna pull off the. There we go. What I did was I just took out the gate so that I'll be able to hear you. So go ahead and talk. Let me make sure I can still hear you.
What kind of music do you think Transylvania Dwarf plays?
Hardcore folk.
Actually, Transylvania Dwarf should have been the name of the band that the
right.
Howling features
I actually
prominently.
Thought that they're a Babel cover band.
Yeah, that's sounds
Euro trash.
No, they're
trash.
They're a Babel tribute band, but they actually only know the only other song that Babel plays in the film. They don't know Howling, which is their number one hit.
All right.
They only know the song that goes, ow, where they yell it at the crowd and the crowd yells it back. That's the only song that Transylvania Dwarf can play.
Okay, so the little person takes them to a church. Where Crossco,
they call it a dwarf, not us. I'm not calling a little person. They said it was a dwarf.
Okay, then he's a dwarf.
Okay.
So Crossco has assembled a werewolf hunting underground of all these people who've been wronged by the werewolves.
That's one way to phrase it.
Yeah, right. So he has a plan, and Mariana is going to be the one who leads them to Stribba. So he knows that they can get her to lead them there. So,
does anybody else get the feeling that Ben and Mariana are essentially, Jenny and Ben are essentially just the GLG 20s of this film, that they're just the bait?
I actually kind of do. Like, I feel like they're just there.
They're perfect bait.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I made a reference to Spies Like Us. I'm sorry. I had to. This film doesn't deserve any better.
No, it doesn't.
So Jenny later is in the bathtub, and we get this suspenseful scene of somebody, like, sneaking up on her in the bathtub. Turns out it's just Ben who goes, boo!
Boo! Which we all do at the movie as that hits.
Incorrect.
Yeah, that's what I was doing.
Well, the whole thing, too. Okay, you've literally come up against werewolves, and you're going to boo.
Yeah, right?
That is ridiculous. Try harder next time, Red Brown.
I feel like Jenny and Ben are both too stupid to realize the danger that they've gotten themselves
well,
in. Like,
very
they
much
don't
so.
Feel
throughout the whole movie they're like
all.
That. Yeah, throughout the whole yeah. movie they're like yeah. that. Yeah.
So we cut back to more wolf sex. So they're just like, again,
thank
just,
God, it's about time.
They're just like weirdly
that's
slapping each other in the face.
That's less uncomfortable than the rest of this movie.
And then we so here we go to this weird extreme like visceral sex. And then we cut to Ben and Jenny in bed, like, doing their taxes or some vanilla
shit. Yeah, I
don't
know if theirs was cut different than ours.
Yeah, it just cuts back to them
but
and they're like...
But ours was cut very weird.
You'll never guess what this crossword puzzle says.
Yeah.
The sex scene between Ben and Jenny in our version actually gets relatively graphic when it hits. Like, he's railing her against the wall.
Yeah.
Well, ours does too.
Okay, so you didn't see that. Yeah, there's
don't
no
act
real
like
nudity,
you got
it gets
that
pretty...
scene, and we didn't.
That's when the pervy
we got
owl
to
was
enjoy
really
it too.
The pervy owl was really loving
we got
the wall
to enjoy
stuff.
It as well.
Oh well, good. I'm glad you guys got to see Reb Brown railing Jenny.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
No, you got to. That was a treat for you. No,
that was wasn't. To make up for last time.
No, it wasn't.
It's like candy corn, man. Whether you want it or not, it's there, and you have to.
I hate candy corn.
Ooh, candy corn. So anyway, this guy who's dressed like a mafia don comes up and tells Vlad and Mariana that Carrasco is here.
Didn't I say, is that the Don from the Godfather's commercial?
From the Godfather's pizza
commercial?
Yes.
He's pissed that she bought up all the garlic in the village and now he can't make a good pizza.
Well, and he goes...
Do it.
He goes, Carrasco is here. Well, of course he is. They, like, turn, and he's just, like, standing there staring at them, smoking a pipe. Like, he's obviously there. He's not hiding
he's just
it.
Just staring them.
The village has 15 people in it, and Christopher Lee is taller than all other 14 of them.
That's true. So, Ben wanders off like a genius to go get Jenny a gift. But he tells the bellhop kid, what's his name, Tondo.
Does it matter
to keep her there? So when Jenny asks where he is, Tondo says, "Oh, Ben wants her to meet him at the gypsy camp." Damn it, Jenny! Like,
come on, Jenny!
Come on, get
your head out of your ass.
Yeah, she's like, "Oh, you're gonna take me to some third undisclosed location? Sounds good." And they take off.
Yeah.
Let this be a lesson: never trust anybody that wants to take you to a third location to meet anyone unless you specifically heard from that person that's where
so
you're meeting.
So at this point, I didn't know this movie was produced by the Weinstein Company.
Oh, no,
it was just the inspiration, that's all.
Damn, too soon?
What are you guys talking
enough?
About?
Yeah.
Not enough.
I meant Burt Weinstein. What the guys are you talking about?
So, Harvey Fierstein production?
Harvey Fierstein?
You sit on a throne of lies.
So Sturba, we come back to her. Now she's wearing some sort of sex armor. And it's like walking around and just hearing spells being cast about Stefan. Or Stefan.
Like it, because Stefan is like cool Steve Urkel.
That's true.
That's Stefan.
And so she's like hearing spells. I thought she was casting spells at first. But she's just, like, hearing them. So I was kind of confused about that.
I thought she was reliving the past where there was some kind of... like, because it's clear that Stefan and her have been battling for a while at this point.
Right, yes.
And I think that she was, like, walking the realm of this ritual chamber of hers is what I'm guessing it is. And she was reliving one of the glories where she won. And this game is almost like this erotic thing for her where she's enjoying herself and her... leather battle outfit that is completely unflattering to her hips.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was very confused about what it was going on exactly. So
I think so were the writers, directors, editors, and producers, so don't feel bad.
So, the caterers, though, they knew.
They knew what was going on. They understood it all.
Yeah, they knew that that bitch had absolutely no food allergies. She ate something that they just spiked with peanuts, and she was fine.
She was fine.
So, now, Ben and Vasile have, they've traveled, or, like, tailed Vlad and Mariana to the entrance of the werewolf camp, to the castle. And Vlad, of course, again, going back to, like, where he's making these bizarre sounds, he's, like, trying to smell the air, but instead of it sounding like a wolf snorting or whatever, he sounds like a werepig. He's just making, like, snorting sounds at this point.
Werepig? Are we back to Harvey Weinstein here, guys? What's going on?
I thought we were talking about how you hate pigs, Court.
Bacon's a tasty treat.
No, I'm at cops.
Oh.
Now I'm just being pigeonholed for a couple of jokes.
Ooh, no, you're not.
We all know the truth. So
it's not all of them. Gort actually is a cop.
That's the truth. That's the twist.
Smokey is the bandit.
So Ben and Vasile are sneaking around. Vasile kills this guard with a knife. Just, like, throws it at him and stabs him with it. And then just crushes his head with, like, a flail. Like, I was like, wow, this Vasile might be the most kick-ass character in this.
Well, he's a little guy that's surviving in a town filled with werewolves. He's got to be a badass.
Yeah,
to be
I think that's a badass.
Vasile learns about the plan to kill Stefan at their castle, where they're the most powerful. Sturba sees Vasile through the window, though, and so she sends Vlad and Mariana after them. They have these, like, holy wax earplugs. Vasile loses his, and so he can't be protected from the spells, which Sturba is chanting.
Were yours explained during, right before they left, were they given by Christopher Lee to people? The holy wax things, did they ever explain them in your version at all?
They did later on.
They did later on, yeah.
But Vasile briefly says something about them in ours.
Yeah. Okay, so there was some brief mention of them. I didn't catch that.
Yeah,
I just remember they fell out, and I'm like, what the hell are they digging for? It looks like, you know, lost werewolf teeth. Why were those in his ears?
I thought they were teeth.
I thought they were, yeah.
I thought they put teeth in his ears at first, but it was hard to say it, hear it through his accent, but he does talk about them just real brief. Christopher Lee actually explains it better later. So Sturba is chanting some magic spells, which has Vasile on the ground writhing around in agony.
To watch this scene.
Right. So the wolves continue chasing Ben, who gets some shots off, but of course they do nothing. And yeah, I don't know how you feel about this, but, like, Sturba, like, there was the magic bit earlier, but, like, the magic stuff going on now, I was just kind of werewolves and, like, I get when it's, like, a curse, but, like, this thing where they're, like, crafting magic and doing whatever, for some reason, just bothers me.
I wouldn't have minded so much if they stated that Sturba wasn't a proper werewolf, but is the creator of all werewolves, and through her magic she does some transformation.
Yeah.
And that's how she, like, if she were something like, or even a demigod or something, but all they just said is that she's the mother of all werewolves, and they don't really give reason why she should have these powers and be magical, and why all of her werewolf children can also do it too. I don't mind that occult aspect, but, like, explain that they're a god and that, you know, that she's some type of a demigod or something, or even a fucking demon, and they're all a part of this cult, and they're given the power to transform. They're not cursed werewolves or something.
Yeah,
but
right.
We get nothing.
Yeah. So I agree. It was really starting to grate on me a little bit. But so we cut back to Jenny and Tondo, who are walking in the woods, and I thought he was going to turn into some sort of a wolf. Like, I thought he was going to freak out, but it turns out he's just a garden variety rapist.
Actually, he's a were-Weinstein.
There he is.
Nice.
So,
When left alone with a woman, he just turns into that. He can't help it.
So, but
he turns into a fat producer.
Yes.
Yes.
He turns into a big fucker who I fucking hate. I hate that guy. Anyway, yeah. Sorry. Oh, I digress. No. I'm sorry.
So he starts. He starts basically kind of getting rough with her. In the meantime, Vasily's torment kicks it up a notch. When Sturba appears to him, she's got like this red cape that's flashing. And then she starts shooting red lightning from her fingertips.
Yeah.
None of which seems to be hitting Vasily.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, his eyes explode.
Yeah.
Okay, now that part was actually kind of cool. The practical effects were okay.
The practical effects there for his head explode or his eye explosion thing I thought was great.
I thought that was pretty cool too.
I think it was like, that was to me was probably one of the best effects in the movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, the other werewolves in Sturba then save Jenny from being raped, and she tells them to teach Tondo a lesson.
Maybe he was a werewolf, but he was just trying to get after her as a human because maybe they're trying to call back to the whole Eddie Quist thing a little bit.
Maybe, that's possible.
I doubt it, though. I think they were like, we need some titillation, so let's throw in a rape scene, which is really exploitative and horseshit, but it does happen in this era.
Yeah. So Sturba takes Jenny with her, and she's going to use her against Stefan later. So now we see Stefan's out walking, and there's a little person who has on the medal that Jenny had on. And this child who's dressed like a bunny rabbit is kind of giggling and has this like childlike voice is leading Stefan down this dark alley. Of course, Ben sees him and he follows behind. Turns out like, and they do this whole thing where they go up into this building, up these stairs, and then it just kind of sits down. And when Stefan goes to take its mask off, he sees it's Vasily's body with, like, no eyes. And, of course, it cuts him because it's going after him. But Ben runs in about that time and throws it out a window onto some spikes. To me, this was, like, the creepiest part of the movie.
I kind of like this. I thought...
Yeah.
I thought that little, you know...
Well, especially because...
A midget little person. Yeah. I thought he did a really fun time.
Well, especially because the voice was so different and stuff. It was so, like, childlike.
Yeah.
When that happened, like, the whole thing was very creepy to me.
If they would have done more stuff with her magic like this, where she has the ability to reanimate the dead, you know, and done some more interesting things, I have less of a problem believing that the mother of werewolves could create these like half risen ghoul like creatures to do her bidding and control them.
Yeah,
I think that works better. The magic stuff that they're doing in this fits more for a sword and sandal kind of film for her.
Yeah.
The kind of stuff that she's doing. Like, she's more of a sorceress than, like, the mother of all werewolves. Like,
yes.
They needed to pull back on her power a little bit or something.
Yeah. Or define it better, at least.
Yeah, give us something to hook it onto so that we can believe this horseshit that they're throwing at us.
Right.
Yeah.
So now, they're throwing so much at you. Like, so many different motifs that you're like, which one are you grabbing onto? Come on.
Yeah, like, and it's like werewolves, but then the werewolves have special abilities. And
yeah, it's bizarre.
Bizarre. So now at the castle, they smear Jenny with blood. And Vlad promises to come back and turn her later. And that she'll love it. So we cut to the wolf hunters who gear up for the final battle. And they have... All sorts of gear, titanium blades, anointing oil, holy water. What they say is like, did they say something about like the cup of Christ that held water or something? I was like, you have the Holy Grail.
I think they had weapons that were fashioned from the Holy Grail in some way, shape, or form, because they had blades that were titanium. They had a knife that was made from the Holy Grail, I believe, and then they had silver knives and things like that. Like, he goes through a litany of these weapons, and the Holy Grail one, they just kind of pass over, so it's think it was a knife they made from it.
You would think they'd be, like, the main weapon.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, right?
The holy wax earplugs. and, of course, Well, it's made of like prayer candles or something.
This was made from Jesus's jock.
I like the idea, like the general idea that you could use like a type of earplug to keep yourself safe from having to deal with the sound of the spells. And if you don't hear the spells, then they have no effect on you.
Yeah,
well, I like Jesus's jock.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure, I'm, you know, let's go for that. But like the idea that these prayer candles would protect you from that doesn't make sense. Yeah. What about like wax from holy candles, but it's also the like rips from the Shroud of Turin to protect your ears from the spell? Something that holds more sway for holy power than wax.
Yeah, I can see that.
It's like shotgun shell rosary beads to like a shotgun shell filled with rosary beads that were never blessed, that are just hand carved rosary beads. To kill a vampire.
Whatever. Yeah.
Right?
Well, but speaking of that, Ben gets a holy rifle.
It belonged to the little guy, so it's like his way of paying them back that he gets the holy rifle of Antioch.
So now there's an orgy going on in the castle, while again, Babel, the new wave band, plays.
Yeah, it's cross-cut with Babel and this orgy that's going on. I don't know if you guys are the same on your movie.
Yeah, yep. What you guys fail to realize, though, is they have a hunger that's emotional, a hunger that they can't control.
Are you trying to say they're emotionally eating?
Yes.
These werewolves are, in fact, emotionally eating.
Yes, they're emotional eaters. That's a problem.
That's why they're howling.
Howling.
So this,
two. Electric Boogaloo.
So this guard, who looks like Master Blaster, shows up. He does. That's like his armor always reminds me of that. And he tells
them, who runs Stripa Castle?
He tells them that the wolf hunters are here. And of course, they start changing. And so this to me, I was like, I'm really confused because they're in the woods now walking. And you hear a lot of like monkey sounds.
That was in your edit.
I thought it was just Christopher Lee.
No, it was, they had like birds and stuff, but then they had monkey sounds.
Now, yeah, that's the different edit.
Yeah, they look like they get jumped by, it appears they're fighting Sasquatches.
From what I read that when they got the outfits for the wolves, that it said property of, Planet of the Apes, 20th Century Fox, Planet of the Apes, yeah. Yeah, no, I'm not making that up.
And yeah, that's legit.
They said, you're a filmmaker, you're smart, figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's how they got the costumes, which is why, because I kept going, it looks like they're apes. Fighting Sasquatches or apes.
Yeah, they look like apes.
Because they were ape suits where they just had to tweak the faces a little bit. So
Some of the werewolf costumes in our edit was actually a little bit better, and it's really different. Because they get into the woods and they go walking in, and there's like this orgy scene that's happening, and Strippa just says, "They're here. Go get them, my children," or something like that. Yeah, and then all the werewolves get up and run out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's none of that sound, none of those things. And it's edited a little bit better because the werewolves that are running in the distance, you don't really see as much with the faces. So it feels like the producers were trying to push an extra longer shots of werewolves to try and keep the thing going in the version that you guys saw.
Yeah, probably.
But it's still bad, don't get me wrong, but it's like the difference between having your foot sawed off and just losing a toe with our editing.
I feel like when Court watches, he had less of a headache than we did.
I know. I'm jealous.
It's a little, the version you guys are describing, like I've seen it. I watched it as many seizures as you did.
Yeah,
it's really much better if you watch the, I hate to say it, but the Blu-ray version of the Strip of Werewolf Bitch, if you can see version.
I'm giving you 12 bucks so I can do that, better. You know, but whatever.
So they're fighting the Sasquatches while Red Brown just screams at the top of his lungs all like through the whole thing. And they lose one of their people. They lose Constantine. And they keep walking then. And then I guess a trapdoor werewolf, which is kind of like a trapdoor spider, but with wolves. It like pops out of the ground and pulls one of their people into the underground.
The only way they could get away with doing the explosion was to have a werewolf underground, and so the explosion could come out of the ground.
Yes.
So Stefan uses the oil like the holy hand grenade. And it just
of Antioch.
Like, yeah, of Antioch. And the fire just shoots out of the ground for like an hour.
Very powerful.
Yes. Eventually the priest
very
gets
jumped. Very powerful.
Very powerful indeed. So later the priest gets jumped.
Phrasing.
Red Brown yells and just fights the werewolf off.
They should have made it that Reb Brown's yell was actually paralyzing to the werewolves like it is to the audience.
With a Reb Brown yell. Anyway.
We all cry no, no, no.
No more.
So Sturba commands Vlad and Mariana to get Jenny. And Vlad is starting to like lose his shit all the way there. Like I think he's like starting to turn. And Mariana, like it's coming closer to the time. So Mariana's saying, hey, you have to control this. Like, calm down. And he's really freaking out and snarling like he has been. So the people who are left in their team infiltrate the castle. The priest sneaks up on Sturba, who's playing with her dead bat staff. Except Sturba knows he's there and sends her, like, dead bat creature thing to go rape his face to death.
I thought that was a gargoyle and it was its tail, but then it awfully pretty much looks like it's just raping his face to death. Yeah.
Yeah. So it shoves its like tail thing down his throat and just keeps like flapping in his face till he's dead. And then takes off. Mariana, meanwhile, is having a hard time keeping Vlad under control. So he's about to grab Jen. And like by this point, he's got this long, luxurious hair.
Yeah, right.
And so he goes to grab Jenny when Ben busts in and just shoots Vlad right in the head and then stabs Mariana with his titanium sword or knife. And so they're both dead, finally.
Finally.
Stefan confronts Sturba, who is casting some sort of spell, but he manages to resist it. So this is, again, I'm like, I don't know if he's ancient also.
Yeah, we don't know. We feel like he is or what? I don't know. It was confusing. Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if he was also ancient, which would go back to like where she's hearing all that stuff happening.
Actually, I don't know how prominent it was in your edit, but whenever he's doing the final confrontation and he gets up to her, she does say a thing where she calls him brother.
Yeah, she says brother.
We will. Yeah, she calls him brother and she says we will be wed for all eternity. So once again, incestuous werewolfy stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, like I was kind of confused by a lot of that. Because I was like, wait, what's happening?
Yeah, I didn't get that.
So they're just all over the board. He eventually gets close enough though to stab her. But at that point they both burst into flames.
Well, he does stab her and that's what triggers the flames too. Yeah, it does happen.
Yeah. Meanwhile, one of those like Muppet rats, I think it's like Rizzo, comes out of the dead priest's mouth.
Right.
But I think he's also consumed by the flame. Like its head pops out and looks around and it's like, hey, Gonzo, what's going on? And then it just like goes Gonzo. Back down into his mouth. But Ben and Jenny, luckily, they escape.
Thank God.
And then, of course, there's the scene. They go back to the town and they draw like a gun on one of the like guys and say, what's the fastest way to the airport?
Which direction's the airport?
Yeah, he just tells them which way to go.
Which is kind of the reason why everyone hates Americans is behavior like Reb Brown's.
Right. Exactly.
What's the quickest way out of this movie? I don't know. Follow Christopher Lee.
Burn it with fire. That's pretty much the only resolution you can get.
So,
don't want to. Too late. You already been through the whole movie.
Yeah. Should have thought about that before we started.
Shouldn't have gone down that road.
We still have about 7 minutes of credits, actually.
Sometimes dead is better.
Yeah, right. So now it's Halloween back home. So Ben and Jenny get their first trick or treater. And it's a kid.
Doesn't the band fire up again during maybe? This in your gut, too?
Yeah.
Coming up, yeah.
Well, it's this kid. Kind of, maybe, I don't know, who's dressed like a werewolf, and this kid looks like he is in pain. He goes, trick or treat, ow, Like, I don't know if he's trying to howl or if he's really hurting.
Oh, I got you.
But they think that's weird. But Jenny's like, well, that kid, he went into that abandoned apartment across the hall. And Ben says, well, somebody must have moved in while we were gone. We were in Transylvania, like, freaking forever.
Right.
So maybe somebody moved in a rare attempt to make money from your landlords. So they go check, and of course the door is answered by this weird childless priest who is super creepy.
Creepy.
And so I guess I don't know what the point of this is. Are we supposed to be, like, scared? And then, of course, the priest says he has no kid. So I don't know if we're supposed to be scared by the priest being bizarre or the kid maybe being a werewolf. I really don't know.
I think we're scared that we actually watched this movie.
And Ben and Jenny then sneak off back to their apartment to bone. The end.
They both make a big joke about it, too, where they're like, we're not our problem. We're just going to go.
Yeah.
They run back to their apartment.
Technically not the end, the end of the movie, but then we got credits.
Oh, yeah. So the credits. Now it's this Christ. Weird cut of, like, scenes from the movie with another Babel song playing. And then
the same one that's played the whole way through the movie, though.
Yeah. And from my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, but Sybil Danning was not happy about this end credit sequence.
No, why would you be?
Well, she hated it at first, and then she wanted to get it cut down. And then some friends of hers, I guess in an interview I watched with her after I watched the movie, because I tried to make any kind of sense of this I could. But she hated it. She's angry about it. She threatened the director and wanted to get it taken care of and get it removed. But then she couldn't. So some friends of hers kind of talked her out of being angry about it. And now she kind of sees the humor in it. She just kind of wishes they wouldn't have been having her rip her dress off over and over again with cuts to people reacting to it. It's like the kind of thing that you would put in a like a gag reel kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it's really demeaning to Sybil Danning in the way that they did it.
Yeah.
Because it's constantly people reacting to, oh, there's her boobs, and then 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 reactions Chesticles. Over and over again.
Well,
it's just ridiculous.
It's different when it was the scene, because it's part of the movie. This is just lame and stupid and very...
Well, even if they would have cut it once with, like, somebody reacting to it, that's one thing. But, like, the fact that it kept happening is, like, very almost, like, it's just demeaning.
It's demeaning to women and to her and to whatever.
Yeah, so...
Right, and she has every right to be upset about it and angry, because it is. It's almost a personal attack on her to just constantly show that scene and then intercut it with these hammy, weird reactions. It would have been better to have other things that happened in the film and then have the hammy weird reactions along with it, not just the nude scene there, you know?
Yeah.
Like they're trying to get some humor injected into the film with that, and all it is just kind of misogynistic and mistreating Sybil Danning.
And add to the fact that it doesn't match the tone of the movie.
Right.
So it's dumb. But you've been deuced on that, right?
Yep. We've been deuced.
So that's what we thought of the movie, but let's hear what other people thought of the movie. This is someone who actually just gives their email address. So I'll read the email address if you want to email them. AshSpiceFilms@yahoo.com gives it a 10 out of 10. Says faster pace.
Wow.
Yeah, faster pace, but worse effects than original.
Yeah, what I said, too.
Yeah. I'm a huge fan of the werewolf movies, and part one is a good film. Just a little boring. This one is a lot faster paced than the first one, but it barely shows the actual wolves, and instead keeps showing them in the forms in between human and werewolf, or a fuzzy human. It isn't as good as the first, but enjoyable compared to Howling 7, worst movie ever made.
What?
It is a good. I don't know what Howling 7
is. Is
there
really a Howling 7?
Is it really Howling 7?
Yeah, it's technically Howling Reborn, I think, is the name of it.
Is it terrible?
I didn't get that far, personally. Howling Reborn, I think, is a remake, maybe, of the original, or like a retelling of the... I can't... They get really... It gets really hard to tell, because they get really out there.
I stopped after three. I stopped after Marsupials. I stopped after Marsupials.
That's the third one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same director as this movie.
Yep.
This is from Alabama Warler 1971, and they give it a 1 out of 10 and say, stupid, stupid, stupid. Three times, stupid. Mm-hmm. Gee, my first one rating on IMDb. Deeply idiotic movie that does a great disservice to the original, which I love. Badly made, awful quality, it looks like shit on both video and cable. Unsexy, crappy music, and totally embarrassing for all involved. Christopher Lee came out alright, but that was never hard for the master. This must be, for him, what my brother and I call a mortgage film. The mortgage was due, so he took it. Go back and get the original. So,
this may not be the most embarrassing movie in Christopher Lee's film career, because
I don't think so.
He did some real stinkers. I mean, this one's really bad. Don't get me wrong. He's done some really bad ones.
I also read that when he did Gremlins 3, he apologized to Joe, or Gremlins 2. Sorry, I was hoping for Gremlins 3. that he apologized to Joe Dante for this movie. But that's
I don't doubt that.
Yeah, I don't doubt it either. So, yeah.
All right. So, let's just go into our questions here. So
we just do a round table?
Yeah, we'll just do a round table. So, our first thing that we always like to ask, because we try to really hard to draw some positive elements out of any of these movies. Some are easier than others, but, we want to at least try. So let's start here. What do you think is the best part of this movie? Court, let's start with you.
The actual set, the lighting, mm-hmm. the production work of the setups of some of the shots, that stuff actually feels like someone who knew what they were doing for Philippe Maury. But the editing and the storyline, I mean, he's just kind of working with what he had. And I think he has a really weird sense of humor that doesn't quite translate well for film. I think he's more of an episodic kind of wacky director for TV.
Yeah.
But particularly the scene where Jenny is tied up and they're in that sub dwelling basement area of the castle, the way that the bones were all arranged and the skulls were piled up to make the doorway, and it was all across the room, and you kind of get the idea that the werewolves kind of keep all of their bones down here, storage for all the people that they've eaten. And the way that the castle's arranged, the setup shots for the orgies, even though they might not really be all that comfortable, but the idea of the world that is behind Striba that's built is actually really cool. There's pieces of this film that are salvageable that if you cut it down to, like I said, an anthology length, a 30-minute movie story about this strip of the werewolf lady, and cut out some of the padding and the other stuff in this film that's bad, and maybe condense it down to an anthology segment, you probably could have a pretty decent story.
I like that.
And some
like
really
that.
Good shots.
Yeah, I agree.
I like that.
So, Matt, how about you?
Christopher Lee phoning it in, my favorite part. I mean, Christopher Lee's just my favorite part, probably, in the movie.
Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. I like Christopher Lee anyway, so, but the only part of the movie that made any sense.
Not even boobs? Not even boobs did it for you?
Well, non-hairy boobs did it for me.
Like the first time they were ripped away.
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough.
So, Bradley, how about you?
Well, yes, Christopher Lee phoning it in is pretty good in this, even though he is phoning it in, so I agree with Matt on this. But I also think that I actually like the extras that were involved in this movie. I actually feel that these people were actually having a fun time doing a movie.
Yeah.
Regardless of what the movie was, what it came out to be, they actually looked like they were having fun. The townspeople actually looked like they were probably townspeople.
Yeah.
And they actually probably were just townspeople. And so I actually thought that was actually kind of fun.
Yeah.
So.
And even, I think going back to Court's point about, him having a weird sense of humor, I think you see that with, the hotel clerk and, some things like that.
And the puppet show.
Yeah. Oh, the puppet show I thought was an interesting aspect. Yeah, but there's, these... I think that's I completely agree, because it's you get these moments where it's it's humorous, but it's odd, and so you don't quite know what to make of it. But I can see where it would have a certain appeal, and maybe that's a cross-cultural thing that we just don't get as strongly with us, maybe it has a bigger impact somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, I guess for me, Christopher Lee phoning it in is pretty good. You know, as much as, like, I get he, like the person said, it was probably like a mortgage movie, or he was doing it just to, you know, fill his time. Like, if you're going to do a project and sign on for it, I know you're irritated. I know you're whatever. But, like, dude, don't phone it in. So I liked that he was in it. I wish he would have still given it, like, his attention.
Yeah. I love that we found something good to say about this movie, because it's not a great movie.
So there are some practical effects I like, too. I do like some of the wolf transformations. Like, not like all, like, we see that, like that person said, we see a lot of in-between stage.
Yeah.
But there are some where, like, and I know they're probably recycled kind of things, but, like, it's, you see the ears getting elongated, and you see the snout come out a little bit more, and, like, there were some good transformation bits in there. But then, outside of those practical effects, you have things like Vasily's, like, eye explosions and stuff. Like, that face looked great when those things blew out.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then even, like, the whole creepy scene with his, like, reanimated body. Like, that was, I thought, was a good scene. And, like, that, to me, would have been a scarier movie. It probably would have given me nightmares if there was a lot of that, honestly. Like, that probably would have freaked me the hell out. So I think those, I mean, I think those are good things to draw out of there. So next question, would you reboot, continue, or cancel this series?
Well, obviously it goes on.
It does. But if you had your choice after this movie.
Watching this movie, I would say bury it as far as you can.
Cancel it?
Cancel it.
Yeah, okay. Court, how about you?
I think that you should continue it, and not only continue it, you should give Philippe Moret another chance to do a third sequel to The Howling. But you set it in Australia.
No.
And you make the werewolves marsupials, and you go even more weird, even crazier out there, because The Howling 3, The Marsupials, is actually this wacky, weird, wonderful little flick that is just so out there and so bizarre. Goes back around to being enjoyable again because it makes absolutely no sense. I actually like marsupials more than the second Howling.
I do like the idea that these creatures have evolved differently, like in different places.
Yeah, that's what I enjoy about it too.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. But
no, in all seriousness, I do love the Howling 3 marsupials. I do. But not for good reasons, because it's just so awful. It's like other people enjoy The Room, I like The Marsupials. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And some people like that about this movie too. They love to make fun of this movie. So
yeah. And I do really. I mean, I bought the Blu-ray of Howling 2. I really enjoy this film. It's not something that you enjoy watching on your own, because you will be bored shitless. But if you're watching it in a group, like how we're kind of poking fun at it and having a little bit of fun. If you watch it as a group and just kind of like, what the fuck, and try and make sense of it, it's really enjoyable that way.
For the most part, the good part about this movie is how bad it is.
Yeah.
Now, they did try to reboot the series in like 2017, I think, or somewhere like 2011. So I can't remember where. But what I think you should do is go back to the original source material of the novels.
Of the novel.
And actually, because there's three of them. He actually did write three novels. There's Howling, Howling 2, and Howling 3 novel-wise. And if you take the original novels and turn those into stories, because they're significantly different, each one has been changed. Like, there's no marsupials, there's no strip of werewolf bitch, none of that kind of stuff. And if you just kind of go through that storyline and try and follow that, maybe you got something there.
Yeah.
But really, I mean, what Joe Dante did with the original Howling is lightning in a bottle, because it has the right mix of humor and horror, and everything that's wonderful about that film is just random happenstance and luck, because even when he tried again with some of the stuff that he did, it didn't quite work as successfully with horror.
Right.
And horror and comedy mix is really rough. I mean, especially in this era, I think you get like Fright Night, The Howling, and a few other films that mix the monster movies with some comedy and work.
Yeah, that
and
do it
like
very well.
You're never gonna get that. And that's why everything else in this Howling series failed, because they never got the tone right.
Agreed.
Matt.
Bury it. Get so drunk you forget where you actually put the body.
Oh.
salt the earth where you left it.
Yes.
Is that so where you were grass can on grow. Your? Yes. Is that where you were on your Bender weekend?
That's not the only thing I did. That doesn't take 2 weeks. Thanks.
He's not that lazy. He can actually bury a movie in less than 2 weeks.
I'm very motivated. I'm very motivated when I'm hammered.
So
it's right next to Aaron Rodgers' collarbone.
You son of a bitch!
So now I said cancel it too. Like, I know, Court. I know you like marsupials for your reasons, but like after this, I think it was taking it down the wrong road. I think it could have been a great series, but I don't want to take the chance on it again, and so I said cancel it.
What's really weird is some of the sequels to this would have been great werewolf movies that just happened to get thrown into the title of The Howling.
Yeah.
And when I say great, I mean like decent low budget ones.
Yeah.
I think it was like Styx or something like that takes place in a sideshow where they kidnap a werewolf and force him to perform in a sideshow, and there's like two of them or something, or a vampire. It's kind of interesting, but it would work better like a Tales from the Crypt style episode. Yes. It goes over long.
All right. Let's go third question here. Does this stand on its own?
I think it fails on all levels for that.
Yeah,
really.
No, not at all.
Yeah. It fails as a sequel. You could watch it on its own, but it still doesn't make any sense. So it just fails in general.
See, I said it does stand on its own.
I think it does, to tell you the truth.
And
because
and the reason
it's
is,
ridiculous enough that yes. we don't really need the first movie to enjoy the ridiculousness of it.
And if just thinking of it from the perspective, if this was the only one you watched,
yeah,
you would know that that Stefan Krosko was talking to a guy whose sister became a werewolf and then reveals the backstory.
She was on the news. We saw that.
Yeah. And so, like, I could have understood. Well, and, like, I don't need to know what happened in the first one, but I think we could understand the story and the concept of
this was the first one I watched.
Because his sister was.
And I understood it as best as I could because it's a bad story. Right. But I understood it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, yeah. You don't get the whole richness, quote unquote, richness
of
like
the first one.
Yeah. But I think that it still stands alone till you can understand that Ben is a guy who's hurting because his sister's dead. Now this nut job is saying that she was a werewolf.
It's got wobbly legs, but it stands on its own.
Yeah, I think so too.
Okay, yeah, you could view it separately from Howling 1. I see what you're saying by it standing on its own, but even as a movie, it still fails, right?
Right. No, we've said that.
No one said does this movie not fail?
But we've seen some movies where you absolutely and like okay, here's an example of one, Pitch Perfect 2. Pitch Perfect 2, they just assumed you knew everything about the first one. We had no clue what the hell was going on. And, like, you could get what was happening eventually, but, like, we didn't know if we were supposed to do characters.
Characters would come in, we're like, who the fuck is this?
I was like, well, obviously that character is, like, so-and-so from the first one. Nope, they had a character they just introduced. She wasn't in the first one, but we had no way of knowing. Like, it was all over the place. So this one, I think, does a better job of being like, hey, this story is fairly self-contained.
It also feels like a movie that was not meant to be a Howling sequel that they just shoehorned into being a Howling sequel,
right.
too.
Yep, right. I can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The later Hellraiser films.
Now, just take this movie into consideration by itself, okay? Pretend you don't know the first Howling movie. Would this movie make you want to see the first one?
No.
No, yeah, I think it would probably ruin your chances of wanting to watch the first one.
Yeah, I agree.
As a matter of fact, if I saw this one, you would have to physically like sit me down and be like, listen, this film has nothing to do with the original. The original is so much better. Like, you would have to probably talk me into it if I had no idea.
Yep.
No, I mean, no.
Yeah, I agree. I agree with all that. I said the same thing. I'd be really reluctant to. And final thing, so sum your experience up in two words. Matt, I know it's going to be tough. Two words. What sums up your experience with this movie?
Fur titties.
Matt? Yeah, that's about right. Court, how about you?
Werewolf three-way.
Werewolf three is three-way.
That's my selling point
word
for this movie. I'm like, if you want to see a werewolf three-way, werewolf three-way.
Is that a compound word? Because otherwise that's three.
No, werewolf's one word.
Three-way.
It's always...
Is three-way one
word? Three-way's one word.
Three-way's one word, too.
Okay. Okay. I'll allow it. Bradley.
I've seen them jammed together. Maybe it's just my bad English.
Good. What?
No, you usually jam together in a three-way.
That's how it works.
Bradley.
I like to be the meat in that sandwich.
Oh, God. Bradley, what's your two words?
What now?
What are your two words?
Oh, Matt took mine.
Matt took your fur titties?
Yeah, fur titties. No, wolf shit.
Wolf shit?
Wolf
yeah,
shit.
This is a bad movie. It's a bad wolf movie.
So I'm going to use mine with some inflection.
Okay.
I put magic werewolves? And, like, I was very confused about the, like, magic werewolf thing. Like, I get there's an element
that was
of magic.
Kinda weird. Yeah.
There's, like, an element of magic in, like, the curse and, like, the occult in, like, the other, the Wolfman story. But this is, like, very blatantly, like, I'm casting spells and I have laser capes and force lightning and things like that. Like,
can I change mine to laser capes?
You can. Yeah. Laser capes.
No, Werewolf Three-Way is still solid. If you combine all of ours, you actually have a plot synopsis for the film.
That's true.
That's true.
They are.
That is true. You've been deuced,
folks. You've been deuced. So.
Thank you so much, Matt and Court.
Yeah. So, real quick, do you
actually,
guys want
to... Thank you for Matt, not Court.
Damn. Yeah. Well, I did kind of say we should do Howling and Howling too. So
it's
kind of my
fault.
Your fault.
I opened it up to all of the other werewolf. I basically was like, "Hey, any of the other ones are up for grabs?" And you were like, "Howling and Howling too." That was the one you picked.
Anyway, thanks,
they're the
guys.
Only ones that have like sequels that I can think of.
Thank you so much for coming on to our podcast and letting us come on to your. Oh,
yeah,
that,
definitely.
Oh, that sounded terrible.
Oh,
sorry.
God.
No, do you for the record, I was into it.
Do you want to tell us one more time where we can find you?
Absolutely. You can find us on our main landing page for Legion Podcast. That is legionpodcast.com. You want to go to specifically for our site. It's legionpodcast.com/cinema-psyops. We're also available through Facebook. We have a group there, Cinema PsyOps. A lot of fun. You join the group. We have alternative photography where people use Photoshop to make things that actually didn't happen become photos. It's all sorts of wonderful, great fun.
I've been enjoying all those demented, beautiful, demented people and their photos of my adventures or misadventures, if you will.
Both Matt and I are available on Facebook. He is Matt PsyOp and I am Court PsyOps. We're not related, though we may look a lot alike to some people.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can also find us on Twitter. I'm at @court_PsyOp and Matt is at PsyOp Matt.
Couple of fat, bald, white guys. I mean,
that are constantly talking about fur tits.
Yeah.
Well, and you can. So on that note, too, you can find us at thedeucepodcast.podbean.com, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play Music, or find us on our Facebook page. We post all sorts of fun things there. Surveys, people have conversations, and we see a lot of our other, friends of our podcast. They post things there as well. So definitely we look forward to seeing you there.
So thank you once again.
Yeah, thank you guys for being here.
Oh, it was a blast, guys.
Thank you for having us.
Yep. And until next time, remember, the sequel is king.